What is up, everybody? Super excited to have Zach Tanner, founder of Painter Bros. Zach, can you give us a quick backstory? What year did you start Painter Bros and where are you guys at now?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Bennett. Started Painter Bros back in 2015. I was a guy painting houses, running around like crazy, getting a bunch of work done. And 2017, started to franchise it. Now we're 50 franchises about nationwide, painting for some really big customers, and having a lot of fun with it.
50 franchises nationwide in 8 years. That's some sweet rapid growth. What was the thing, I mean, franchising, at least for me with my story, Dirty Dog, like, it was very intimidating. Everybody's telling me, like, franchising's fun, it's crazy, and you're going to get sued. You know, that was the advice that I got, and I think it was all true. What caused you to want to get into franchising?
I was kind of like born into it and then sort of forced into it. So like growing up, it was kind of a family industry in a sense, where I had my uncle and his business partners that were involved in some franchising. My family's all entrepreneurs. And so I started working with this company that was franchised, and then they ended up selling it. And so then the forced into it part happened, where I was like, all right, now what am I going to do? And just got out of high school, was injured, wasn't going to go play ball. So I picked up a brush and thought I knew more than everyone else and got after it.
Awesome. And then what was kind of that process? Okay, here's my business. It's successful. What caused you to want to offer that to others?
It changed over time. Initially I thought I had something really unique, and I didn't. And so like when I first started franchising in 2017, I sold like two or three, 'cause I was like, ooh, I know everything. I've got the best idea. Here we go. And I learned really fast I didn't. And so I completely stopped it, built some technology, started developing some more relationships, and I really didn't pick it back up again until I felt like I had that, something unique, which was in 2022, I think, was when we picked it back up. So yeah.
And then it's been expansion from there. So let's into some of the numbers. On the franchise disclosure document, it shows the lower end from the investment range starting at just 230, and the higher end is still only 440. As a franchisee, what's going to cause me to be closer to the 230 versus the 440 range? And what are the major, I guess, breakdowns of that startup cost?
Yeah, good question. Mostly based around territory count, depending on how many territories a franchise candidate wants to purchase will dictate that initial main cost. After that, we require an amount of operating capital. We recommend up to a year of operating capital to pay yourself as you build the business. That's not super normal in the industry. That's something we found to be successful to give franchisees the amount of time to build the business the right way.
And I love that because, a lot of times as a franchisor, we want to make that item 7 look as low as possible. So like, you need some startup capital, but maybe like a week's worth, you know? But you're like, no, in reality, you need a lot more. So that's really good too, as you look at that breakdown, like a big chunk of the startup capital is really just for you to have a year's worth of runway, which is awesome. And then let's jump down to the item 19, which is as impressive as they come. You guys have quite a few franchise locations reporting on here, and then also your corporate store. So focusing on the corporate store, which is definitely atypical, but it shines the light on potential possibilities. So you guys are in, was it Salt Lake is where the corporate store, or is it Vegas?
It's Las Vegas is the franchise.
Okay, Las Vegas. And I only did 8.4 million in sales in one office, had a gross profit of 34%. So the gross profit of $2.8 million, which is crazy. Can you walk us through like what's included in that gross profit and what I'm getting at, or what are the expenses that I should have in my mind that haven't been subtracted out of that gross profit that will get me to my net profit?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a business model that's based around $2 million or give or take of production per account manager. And so we have account managers that run accounts, and their bandwidth where they can get it done well is about $2 million person. So we've got about four account managers mixed in there. Got a CFO mixed in there. Got some rent, some lease mixed in there. Me and my business partner that built the thing, we don't have salaries for it. We really wanted to build a business that was based around us working on it, not in it. And so we staffed up the best way possible to give ourselves a business that could work for us as well one day.
Awesome. I love that. Okay. So now we're looking at, I can look at the gross profit and I think, okay, well, what staffing do I have? And I could kind of keep that in my mind. Okay. Well, I need to pay somebody, I don't know, 60 to 80K for every $2 million in business, if that's something accurate. And then if I have accountant, you know, some legal services, things like that, but it's not a ton of crazy expenses. Most of them are going into that calculation of the gross profit because of your fixed expenses of paint, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. It's
okay, awesome. What about, sorry, you could go ahead.
No, I was going to say you hit the nail on the head with it. I mean, salaries vary, but yeah, you're in the ballpark.
Okay. What about, so those are total startup costs. The franchise fee is $75,000, which is due upon signing in franchising. The other costs are typically as incurred. Financing options, you guys, people typically aren't going through financing, right? They're paying cash. Is that correct? Or do you guys also have some third-party financings that you recommend them to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, ideally, it's cash. Not everyone has that amount of cash. And we're of the mindset where when you need the money, it's hard to get the money sometimes. And so when you sign a franchise agreement, sometimes it's best to have an insurance policy and work with one of our partners like Benetrends Financial and securing a SBA loan or rollover or something like that.
Awesome. So there's options, cash preferred, but SBA is definitely out there. Okay. And then we have the ongoing fees. So talk to me, royalty, marketing, tech, what are the fees and then the associated support that I can expect with that?
Yeah. So royalty, it's a 5%. We've got a general ad fund at 2%. Our tech fees, I think it's at $4.99 a month per franchisee. And what we have is a pretty robust staff of coaches. I hire experience. I think that I can teach people only so much and then they have to grow. And so I hire these coaches that have built a business, sold a business in the same space. And so right now for our 50 franchisees, we've got 3 really high level coaches, VP of marketing, and then a CFO to help with all the financial planning and whatnot.
Awesome. So 7% between marketing, royalties, and then $500, and I get a coach, a business coach specialized in helping franchisees be successful.
Correct. Very seasoned.
That sounds good.
Coach. Yeah.
I was just on a podcast yesterday with someone tackling this of like, you buy a franchise and you get a good playbook, right? And where do franchisees go wrong? Well, a lot of times it's like, I have the playbook, but I'm expecting the franchisor to do the heavy lifting. It's like, no, it's your business. You have to do the heavy lifting. It's just, here is the playbook to support you. And what's lacking there is a lot of the business acumen on really just how to run a business. Like, again, here's a playbook on how to paint and how to hire, but all of the other business strategy a lot of times is lacking. So it's really cool that you guys are providing that. I do see that as a pretty big hole in the industry. Jumping back to the item 19, on here we have high contract and low contract with each of the franchisees. Can you show me, or can you walk us through like what you're trying to show on the item 19? And I mean, I'm seeing some pretty impressive, like a high contract value of $344,000. That's showing that one franchisee had one contract for $344,000 that year.
Yep. Yeah, it was an initiative we took upon ourselves to help provide franchise candidates with as much as possible as they're trying to plan their next venture and building their dream business. We're really focused on commercial business. It's not something that's super well known in the painting franchise community as far as like average job size or what can I expect, this and that. And so last year we had a lot of questions about, well, what's the average job size? What can I expect to get? And so providing some insight on one, what franchisees land on average or high low in their own market on their own, as well as national account projects that our corporate store or another franchise location sent them so they can start having a better idea of what to expect.
Yeah, let's dive into that a little bit more because this is super cool. You guys have national accounts with companies such as Walmart that feed you guys quite a few jobs. So if a job comes in Salt Lake City for a Walmart to be repainted, that gets sent out only to a very select approved contractors list, which Painter Bros happens to be on. And then if I happen to be the franchisee, I'm getting a call from corporate and I can take that job. And it could be a 20 grand job, but it can also be a $344,000 job on the high end. Is that all accurate?
Yeah, I mean, it's a widespread range of opportunity, and I mean, it's impossible to nail down what next year is going to look like and where to expect things. But our goal is just to take care of our customers nationwide and be there for them when they do need us.
I love that. I mean, the startup costs, relatively speaking, are extremely low, especially for the potential $8.4 million profit. And again, don't expect that as a franchise, especially not in year one, two, or three. But if it's being done, and at least in my mind, it's like, okay, I don't know Zach that well, but what is Zach doing that I can't replicate, right? Especially if he's giving me his system and giving me access to his brain. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not going to hit that. But it's cool that it's a possibility. Okay, so now I've signed a franchise agreement. I'm excited for the potential growth there. What is the timeline? So I sign up today. How long does it take for me to get trained and start advertising to get my first account?
From the time someone signs, we do quarterly training. So it really depends what time in the quarter they actually sign. It could be 30 days, could be 2 weeks. But before they come out to training, they're required to go through a formal process. One of the main ones is CIP level one training. It's an AMPP course for inspector level painting contractors that hyper-focuses on commercial painting. So once they come to training, they launch pretty much immediately. And in a lot of cases, we have franchisees starting a project or bidding out a project within a couple weeks of opening. That's been pretty consistent.
That's so crazy fast compared to, coming from retail. I'm like, it takes me 3 months just to find a freaking location.
Yeah.
And then that's before I submit for permits. And I mean, let me stick on that point for a while. Business is risky, right? And then where are the biggest points of risk? Well, it's your upfront capital, and then it's any liability. So what's the biggest liability typically? I mean, in retail, it's that lease, right? I'm signing a 10-year lease guaranteeing them that I'm going to pay them regardless if my business is open or not. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty scary. With Painter Bros, I don't need that, right? That's part of why it's not only a lower cost and you're starting out with a lot of working capital, but you're not starting out with that huge risk. How are you guys able to, I guess, operate and you don't need that retail? And why did you guys decide to do that rather than go more of that retail route?
I mean, right out of the gates, it's just not needed. When I started Painter Bros, I started it in my guest bedroom of my house, slowly graduated into a basement. And then I graduated into a little single office where I stacked like five desks that cost me $400 a month. And so I built it kind of based off of how I grew it successfully. Now the corporate location's in a big office, but I think you grow into it. As cool as a big office is, I'd rather pay myself for the first few years than pay an office, So
I agree with that. Yeah, start with the lowest amount of risk possible, prove the concept. Once you hit that million or two or 8 million mark, if you're the corporate office, yeah, let's go grab that office at that time. Okay, marketing. How do I go get my customers? So retail does have the advantage of, I open up a sign or a store, I put Jimmy John's. Everybody knows Jimmy John's is there because it's on the sign. And then I kind of can wait for people to come to me. Painter Bros, I'm going to have to do the outreach. So we have the 2% marketing, but that's going towards brand building. What's the marketing that I'm expected to be doing as a franchisee, and what support does Painter Bros offer me?
Yeah, good question. Our core focus is networking and relationship building. We're a long-term relationship building mindset and culture. And so lots of conferences, lots of networking groups, lots of different property or facility maintenance organizations that we have, vetted and tested out and know that they work. We have our franchisees focus on those in their local markets. We do some Google ads, lead generation type stuff. That's really not our core focus. Sometimes it's residential mainly, and franchisees love that, so they can participate in that. And what we do is with our software, we plug that in with our coaches and with our VP of marketing, and we go over cost per customer acquisition metrics, understanding the actual cost per customer from different marketing channels, whether it's 10% of the jobs marketing, 20% of the jobs marketing, or 30% of the jobs marketing. So that's all automated, reviewed weekly and monthly, so a franchisee can understand how to digest that data and make good decisions to grow their business.
I love that. So networking is key. So you're looking for a franchisee. Maybe we shift there. What's the, you know, who's a good franchisee for Painter Bros and who's not going to be a good franchisee? And it's someone, by the sounds of it, that has that people building skills. Not so much as a, hey, I'm going to go cold knock on doors and businesses and go be a killer salesperson, but do I know how to talk to people, communicate, and build up long-term relationships?
Yeah, exactly. I think our best franchisees that kick butt day in, day out. I just saw a couple fun updates for the last month and it made me smile. And it was the people that I think about when I get asked these questions. There are people that are coachable and there are people that understand we're working on the same team. We're going to work through everything. It's kind of like a marriage when you buy a franchise, because it's like, we're together for 10 years. You're going to hate me this week. Maybe I'll hate you next week, but we're going to love each other on week three kind of thing. And that's so
is that the average marriage length is 10 years?
I think it's the average franchise marriage, a 10 year term. But so yeah, coachable individuals that really understand relationship building. I think that's the focus. The ones I would say probably wouldn't be a good fit are individuals focused on transactional relationships. I'm there for a quick transaction. I'm there for a quick sale. I'm there for a quick buck. That just doesn't jive very well with us. Because we want the long term. We want bucks every year from a customer, not just one and done.
And part of them being, you know, able to provide that service and not be transactional, it needs to be a full time commitment, right? This isn't something that I'm gonna buy and hire my daughter to run and, you know, wish for the best. But I also want to clarify, you know, you talked about working on your business versus in the business. So it's required to be full time, but it's not required that you're the painter, right? And it's encouraged to have multiple locations because that's where the economies of scale really happen. So walk me through that. Like it's full time, but how do I go from full time right when I buy my franchise, getting my first jobs, to then maybe opening up 3-4 offices? And what does that look like my day to day?
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of time it takes to build any business, whether you cram it all into 2 years and just work super hard, or it takes you 4 years is kind of up to you. But there is an amount of time that it takes. And then the business is really built around working on it at the end of the day and not in it. And so between the software tools, between the training, the coaching, it's built for you to work yourself out of that daily grind. Do what me and my business partner have done, and our coaches did as they built their businesses, and hired out, staff up, grow, scale. I think it took us right around the 4-year mark to get to that point where we weren't necessarily the reason that the business moved every day, which you're nodding your head because you probably know exactly what that feeling is.
Yep. So single unit or multi-unit, if you were a franchisee, knowing what you know now, if you were me, you know, how many territories should I buy if I'm looking at the Utah market, assuming Utah's wide open, which I don't know if that's accurate or not.
It is, it's on the docket.
But what am I looking at as far as, do I want one, do I want two, do I want five? And then what is my expansion timeline if I'm really going for that, you know, 4 or 5 area market?
Yeah. You know, Utah is a little bit of a different beast, where it's where I started Painter Bros, and we don't operate here anymore. And so we get this mountain of leads every month that are unserviceable because we don't have time for it. So that one would be a little different, but it's up to the individual.
Well, maybe I'll buy that one then.
I'll put your name down. Yeah, it's almost cringeworthy every month, as it's like stepping over dollars to pick up pennies sometimes, but like. Anyway, so it's up to the ambition level of the franchise candidate. So 3 territories, I think, is our average, but that requires a minimum of it's $1,000 a month after the first 3 months, and then the first 3 months it's like $2,000 a month per territory. And so you're agreeing to like, all right, I'm going to really build these things. I'm going to get after, I'm going to go sell some deals to pay for all those things. So there is an expectation on our end that yeah, if you want a bunch of territories, you got to develop them. You're on the hook for developing them. So ambition level, goals, connections, they all factor in on how they can best develop that.
I mean, it does nobody any good to buy a territory and not develop it. So
no,
definitely yeah. Following you on there. Let's talk about the struggles. What are the hard parts about being a Painter Bros franchisee? And it doesn't specifically have to be Painter Bros or just being a business owner in the painting industry. But what are we seeing as struggles day to day?
I don't know enough to know if it's only just Painter Bros or if it's just business in general and franchising in general. But I think that with us, and it could be relatable, it's a transition from working for someone to working for yourself. The mindset of turning into a hunter killer and you kill every day versus, I kill like maybe once a year, I'm going to get a paycheck no matter what. I still work really hard, but I'm not used to it all being on me all the time. I think that takes time to nurture that in a positive way through the finish line and get people to really turn the corner and learn it themselves instead of someone verbalizing it to them. So, I think it's a good problem, but it's something that we learn and work and grow through as a team.
And whether we want to stick with that example or another example, but I'd love to hear an example of a franchisee that started off not doing so hot for XYZ reason, what way we identified, what we helped correct, and how they're doing now.
Yeah. The story that comes to mind, it's actually a really good story. And I guess to preface it, I've convinced myself in the last like four years ago, it totally reshaped my mind. I can never want something for someone more than they want it for themselves. And I've stuck to that. And so this story is kind of, focused around that, where we had a franchisee who very ambitious, dedicated, was awarded as close to 700 grand a work or so their first year. Super exciting right out of the gates. He just quit his job. He jumped into it. He wanted to do the job his way. There's coaching, there's things that a franchisor can control. And then at the end of the day, it's like, hey, you're going to do it your way at the end of the day. Long story short, he sort of fell flat on his face as far as making money goes. Jobs got completed. Customers were happy at the end of the day. Didn't make any money. We kind of had a little come to Jesus moment at the end of the year where he's like, Zach, I'm in a tight spot. What do? What do you think? How do we get through this? The world's like falling on him. And I told him the same thing. I was like, well, it's got to be your choice. I can't want this for you.
It turns out that's what you bought is all of the answers. You just got to follow them.
Go figure. So yeah, we had a little come to Jesus. I was able to bail him out of a little bit of a sticky financial situation. With the commitment of I'm going to go kick this thing's ass next year, which he's done. He's like leading the pack, complete 180, following the system, crushing it. But he had to hit a rock bottom place to.
Yeah. Which is funny. Cause like a rock bottom place with 700K in revenue your first year, you usually associate those two together, but it's funny. Cause you're like, okay, well I followed half the system or maybe I didn't follow half the system. But I got the 700K, but I'm not following the rest of the system.
Right.
Because I need the profit, right? Like,
right.
It's not just how to get the sales, but it's how to run your business profitably. Otherwise, you're not going to buy more territories. You're not going to pay royalties. We don't make money. The brand doesn't get built. You guys don't make money. It's not a win for anybody. So on a personal note, can you talk to me a little bit about the motivation? Like what motivates you day to day and what's the vision that you have for Painter Bros going forward?
Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be the best at what I did. Whether I was playing football or I was snowboarding or whatever. And so I always wanted to have the best company, out there. And I don't think I ever wanted to be the biggest, but I just always wanted to be the best. And so continuing to be the best surround ourselves with people who continually want to be the best, be better. That saying I use now sometimes is it can always be better. It's never going to be perfect. So let's go to work kind of thing. I think we're well on our way to be the best, grow this thing, goes thing to the moon and back. And I think we've got the right people to do it.
I mean, the brand reputation is there. Otherwise, how are you on such a select list of Walmart preferred vendors? Which also reminds me of another big brand, Home Depot. You guys did, I think it was the Home Depot Foundation just last week.
Oh, yeah.
Out in Texas. Can you walk me through what you guys did with Home Depot?
Yeah. Yeah. So Jeff Chastain, he's our franchisee out of South Carolina. Such a cool dude. Someone I look up to. He had some connections and some desire to go work for Home Depot. And I said, absolutely, man, I'll support you however I can. You let me know. So he's plugging away. He's working some deals and he gets a contract out in San Antonio. And so he's in South Carolina, jobs in San Antonio. So he calls up our franchisee in San Antonio and says, hey, can you help me out with this project? And it's through the Home Depot Foundation called Haven for Hope. Super, super cool deal. We volunteer. It's a partial contract to do the really tricky stuff, really high up in the air stuff that costs money. And then the rest of it, they reserve for the Home Depot Foundation Day, which is volunteer day where they send out like 700 people, 800 people from Home Depot. And it's amazing what they do in a 4-hour period. They do the landscaping. They'll do setting up chairs. They do a bunch of painting in the easier to reach areas, a bunch of stencils. I just posted a video on LinkedIn about it. It's really quite interesting. But yeah, we were in charge of managing the paint side of it. Me, Jeff, Marvin, who's our franchisee in San Antonio, and then Steven, who's our COO.
Yeah, that's super cool. Because a lot of times, like, we know it's fun to own businesses and be our own boss and control your schedule and get it, hire people and be a difference in their lives and all of that. But a lot of times we forget about the potential community aspect. Like, okay, well, I have employees, I have time, resources, and the skill on how to do professional painting. Like, how can I give back a little bit to that? So anyways, that's fun. That was cool that you guys just did it last week. So I wanted to highlight that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Jumping into buying a franchise, what do you feel like are, you know, the top reasons that the top questions that I should ask myself? And if it's a yes, then yes, I should buy a Painter Bros. And maybe if it's a no, then maybe I should look at something else.
Are you coachable? Are you a self-starter? And is culture important to you? Those are probably the top three.
Shifting back a little bit, we were talking about Walmart and Home Depot and, you know, you want to be the best. Like Painter Bros is the Ferrari. It's not the Toyota Corolla. But talk to me about like what makes Painter Bros so popular that one of the largest companies in the world is going to contract them and trust them to do services all throughout the nation.
You know, it took me a lot of time and a lot of hard work to get to a point where, you know, big customers trust you enough to give you a shot. And then it takes even more work, time, and effort to capitalize on that shot that they give you to get more opportunities. It's not as simple as turning on Google Ads. It's more like a decade of developing relationships, building a reputation. And so it's a Mount Everest, for lack of better words, that it takes some people 20, 30 years to climb. I was very blessed in my journey in this industry where I got it done a little bit quicker. Of course, they were Zach years, so I might work 4,000 or 5,000 hours in a year. So maybe it is the same amount of time overall. No, we protect that. We last year's a good example. We had just shy of 600 applicants to become a franchise, and we only signed 24 out of that whole list. And it's, you know, it's keeping a special thing special. Our franchisees, I coach them on, hey, I created a foundation of something really, really special, but it's up to you guys to make it great. And so looking for those type of individuals that understand that concept of like, all right, someone got us here, which is already big. Let's take it the next step. So, yeah, Ferrari, I guess is the best way to say it.
I love that. Talking about, what's your favorite part about being a business owner? Whether it has to do with Painter Bros or not, but like, what's cool about owning a franchise, owning a business?
Oh, that's a funny question. I got to tell you a joke. So I was at my buddy's birthday party and on Saturday, and his mom after the party was like, thanks for being such a good boss. And I guess I was like being a little sassy, and I said, I'm not a boss, I'm just a kid. So to answer your question, I think there's part of me that really enjoys being able to be just a kid, almost like a genuine human being, relatable with people, hanging out with people. I work my ass off for it, to be able to have that opportunity to just be me. So as a franchisee looking at becoming a franchisee or a business owner in general, yeah, you can have some freedom. You got to be willing to work for it, but there's some freedom opportunity at the end of the tunnel, if you work really hard at it.
I love it. If you work really hard at it, at the correct game plan, because if you work really hard with a crappy strategy,
yeah,
good luck. Let me know if that ever works.
Yeah.
So final thoughts, if you're talking to somebody, they're considering a Painter Bros franchise, maybe on the fence, you know, what would you tell them?
I'd say call me, set up a call with me if you're really on the fence with it. I would say don't overthink it either. You can sit there and over analysis creates paralysis all the time. And it's like having kids, in my opinion. It's never really the perfect right time to have. There's always something you can say that, no, it's not. Business is the same way. So, like, you know, just sometimes you got to take that first step and go for it.
I agree with that. That's definitely us. Type A entrepreneurs are like, due diligence? Nah. No, but that's definitely not what we're saying. Do the due diligence. Yeah. We're going through the whole sales process. But when it comes down to, you have the information, you have all the information you need to make an educated decision, don't delay that, because one thing changes just for another thing to then be the new roadblock. So I really like that advice. Zach, congratulations. I can't even a painting company in Las Vegas, $8.4 million out of a single office. What the heck? Who are you? Why'd you do that? That's super cool. And it's really cool that you're providing this opportunity to franchisees. And again, looking at the FDD, I'm just going to read off a few. Here's subcontracted jobs landed from managed national accounts, you know, kind of mid-tier. I'm going to go right in the middle. $95,000, $135,000, $197,000. Single jobs from a franchisee. Really cool. So, Zach, thanks for your time. Thanks for everything you've built. I'm excited. Yeah.
Thanks for having me, man.